Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in, watching, listening, sharing. We've got a return guest again. Love this sister and her heart for the gospel. It's Pamela Walk, and you can get to her website by going to Pamela, WALCK.com. PamelaWalk.com. And her book, I definitely want to mention that. She's working on a new one. She's almost done, but this is the book that we've been talking about the last couple of times. We've had her on. Great stories in here. Bridge of Love. And a lot of inspiring encounters that she shares about. We want her to share more today. So, Pam, that's why we've got you on, a little, just to catch up with you, see how you're doing, and welcome back to Worldview Matters. Good to see you.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be on here.
Good. So good to see you again. And as I mentioned, I just love your heart for the Lord and for the gospel. I keep up with some of the people you talk to. Whenever you can go to a doctor's appointment, and if you take an Uber, you mention sharing the gospel with the Uber driver. So you put a prayer request out there, and you let people know his name, and so people can pray for him. I just love that. I love that. I wish I could be more like that, too. And maybe that's a challenge for all of us. But, Pam, before we just jump into some of the thoughts about persevering through trials, that's what I want to talk about, perseverance and our focus to share the gospel more often, because people need it. We need to be about souls. What's going on with your health? We haven't had you on for many months. I don't know, 6 to 9 months. So let's catch up with you. How can we be praying for you? What's going on health-wise?
Yeah, so in August of 21, I was diagnosed as a non-smoker with stage 4 lung cancer. And, you know, I was a physical therapist for the past 28 years, 17 at the last place I worked at a trauma hospital. And I was praying for my mom. She's 97 now. And all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. And I was like, this is really weird. And to make a long story short, being hospitalized, they thought I had pneumonia, but then the results came back stage 4 lung cancer. So that floored me, obviously. And I flew out to Cleveland Clinic. I live near Buffalo, New York, but I couldn't get into the local cancer institute at the time because it was just one of the doctors had left. So I flew out to Cleveland Clinic on Wings of Hope, had some genetic and biomolecular testing done, and they said I had an EGFR mutation. So it's a mutation, it's adenocarcinoma in non-small lung cancer, common in smokers. So I ended up going on a target pill, which is called Tagrisso. And I started that in September of 21. I also had a Clorox put in a lung drain for 6 months. Then they took the lung drain out, I was doing great. And then in 2023, I started having pain in my right lung again. They did a bunch of tests, I went on chemo with the Tagrisso, the target pill. And then I was doing great again. And then in February of this past year, I started feeling funny again in my right lung. And I flew to MD Anderson in Houston, Texas, where they're the number one cancer institute in all of the US. And I was looking into having a possible pleurectomy, which is where they take the pleural lining out, and also a lobectomy where they take the lobe out if I was a candidate. So not all the hospitals do that. They're just starting to do this now on stage 4 patients. So they did an updated brain MRI that was normal, but then they did another PET scan. And the last one I had done was 6 months before, and they said that I had had progression. So then they took me off the chemo. I flew back to Buffalo, and now I'm on a new protocol. It's called a Rybrevant infusion. So I get that every 2 weeks at the hospital I go to in Roswell and Buffalo. And I get that every 2 weeks. It's a long time up there. I'm usually up there for 8 hours. Wow. And then I'm taking this. Yeah, it's a long time. And then I'm taking this new pill called Lasclus. So they took me off the Tagrisso, which I've been on since 2021. I'm on this pill Lasclus. I have insurance issues with this because it's not, what's the word for it? It's not approved for third line patients, and I'm considered third line. That means I've tried 3 different things where it's approved right now for first line. But the problem is they didn't invent it in 2021. So it wasn't FDA approved until 2024. So it's going back and forth with appeals through my doctor and, you know, just out of appeal processes. And we'll see what happens. But right now, Johnson & Johnson has approved it as a like a grant or some sort of patient assistance program. So I am taking it under their patient assistance program. Otherwise, it's $19,000 a year. Or not a year. I mean, I'm sorry, $19,000 a month.
Oh, my That's goodness.
Like, yeah, it's super expensive. But I'm doing well. I've got some side effects. This chemo to me was a walk in the park. Everybody's chemo is different because it's different medicine. Yeah. That was a walk in the park to me. One is much more harsh, but it's getting better. So I'm just praying that the Lord will use this medicine and that it will work. And also I'm still praying, obviously, for supernatural healing, that would be the best, you know, that I wouldn't have to have any of these things. So, but I'm doing well. Yeah.
Well, it's frustrating, I think, just to hear whenever we hear you weren't even a smoker and the cancer got to your lungs. And just we don't understand how that all works or why that happens. But God's sovereign over everything. And as believers in Christ, we have to go, okay, Lord, what are you doing? Obviously, we pray for healing. We know God can, and we know he uses people. He also uses you. And here's where the perseverance and the focus, the eternal perspective comes in, Pam, because whenever you go to an appointment, you're sharing the gospel. And that is really, I don't want to say convicting, but I think that's inspiring to a lot of people who in their everyday lives, who might not have any health issues, we're not doing that. And here you are. So God bless you for that. I want our viewers and our listeners to be praying for Pam, for healing, for God's strength, for his continuing to use her, because, man, just talk about someone who is walking the talk, so to speak. So any recent gospel opportunities you can share with us before we maybe go revisit some from your book? Yeah. Or I know you always have new ones, so...
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll give you an example. My mom has not been in the hospital in a while, but she was in the hospital a few months ago. And to be honest with you, it was 2 a.m, and I really wasn't in the mood to share the gospel. You know, I was kind of like in sort of a depressed kind of like, here we are again. Hmm. And then I thought, you know, all of a sudden I literally felt in my spirit, and I truly mean felt, I heard, it must be the Holy Spirit, right? I heard it's not about circumstances, it's about relationship. And I thought to myself right away about Paul and the Bible and how he was chained to a Roman guard. But he wasn't going, oh, poor me, poor me. He was actually sharing the gospel with the Roman soldiers. And I thought, I am not losing my zeal for the Lord. I am not. So I thought the next person that comes in, I'm going to share the gospel or at least give them a tract. I like to give out tracts a lot, which is a pamphlet on Jesus, but I have some catchy tracts. I get them from livingwaters.com. It's Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron's ministry. I use specifically one called The Wallet because when I was younger, I wasn't a Christian. People used to give me tracts, you know, these Christian pamphlets, and you knew right away it was about religion, and I would throw it in the garbage. That was it. I never read one track. But the funny thing is, I really believe the Lord has a sense of humor because I give out thousands of them. And he probably thought, yeah, Pam, you think that these people are weird. Well, you just wait until years later when you do become a Christian, you're going to be giving them out all the time. So what happens is this guy comes into the hospital, into the ER, to ask my mother some insurance questions. And, you know, I speak for her because she's got a low voice. And I give him the answers, and I thought, okay, I got to say something. Well, he's kind of in a hurry. So I gave him a tract, and I gave him my book card, my business card and my book. I said, I really hope that you read this pamphlet that I'm giving you. It's really important. It's on Jesus. Well, a couple weeks later, out of the blue, I get this email from him saying that he's been reading, that he looked at my website, he read the wallet track, and he really feels like God has been sort of pursuing him or something, because a couple other people that have also brought up God within that same week. And the funny thing is, he ended up going to church on Easter and praying and trusting in Christ. And now he's going to a like a new believers class.
Wow.
So I was quite thankful, you know, because it really is about relationship. It's not about circumstances. I mean, none of us a lot, you know, like our circumstances at times, but if we do put our focus eternally and think about all the people that need Jesus more than just the 900 years, 60 years that you're in life here. I mean, this is eternal. You know, that's huge. And it just seems like I talk to so many people that are not believers. It's rare that I actually talk to a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. It's really sad. So, yeah, so that's one example.
Well, I want to remind people what you just said about giving out tracts. And I've given them out, too. In fact, when I first moved into the neighborhood that we're in now 3 years ago, it was in the winter, and I thought for Christmas, I got these the Gospel of John, and I got some other tracts, and one that said Merry Christmas and different things, and I put them in these door hanger bags. I went all the way around. I didn't talk to anybody, but it was at night. I hung them on the doorknobs probably for about 3 blocks around our neighborhood, and I prayed over them as I was giving them out. But there are all these opportunities, and what you said is really interesting. You were given tracts, or you've seen them. You used to throw them away when you were younger. Now, here you are giving them out. We don't know which one is going to register with someone. And that the one that you shared about, he was obviously, maybe others had shared with him. He was someone talked to him about God. It was at the moment where you gave, and it's just, it's not in our control. We are just to share what we can, give out a tract. If we can, you know, share in person, that's great. But you never know how God is working in their hearts. And we can, you're right, we can assume that almost everyone, because the majority of people are not believers. So a lot of opportunities. Pam, share another one before we have to take a brief pause, please.
Yeah, so I went to a wake a couple weeks ago with my cousin. And after the wake, it was a Sunday, I thought, you know, I need to get a couple things. I don't usually shop on Sundays. I went into the Dollar Tree store. And this woman walks up to me and she goes, she must have thought I worked there. She says, honey, do you know where the handheld mirrors are? And I said, no. And she goes, I said, I don't usually come to this store. And she goes, oh, my neck. And she walks away. And I thought to myself, I'm a physical therapist, even though I'm retired. I thought, okay, I got to talk to her. So I ended up, I said, excuse me, you just said you have neck problems. And she said, yes. And I said, can I ask you what's wrong with your neck? So we ended up in this conversation and I gave her some neck exercises right in Dollar Tree. And then she says to me, where do you work? And I said, well, actually I'm medically retired. And I told her briefly what happened. And I said, well, Jesus is my healer and he will always be my healer, even if he uses medicine or, you know, doctors or supernatural. And she says to me, oh, okay. And then I asked her, I said, well, can I ask you, are you Christian? And she said, Catholic. And I said, okay, well, I couldn't let it go with that. Then I said, well, let me ask you a question. If heaven forbid you were to die today, right now or something, where do you think you would go? And she said, heaven. And I said, okay, based on what? And she said, well, I've always been really good to my son before he died. I treated him so well and I always took care of him. And I said, well, you know, and she was going on and on. I said, can we just talk a little bit about that? I said, you know what the Bible says? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, the Bible says, you know, we can't work our way to heaven. We can't do enough good things because the standard to get into heaven is perfection. And I said, and none of us, including myself, are perfect. And then I took her through some of the Ten Commandments. And I said, do you see how we all fail? You know, if you've ever lied once, taken something small, you know, looked at a person with lust in your eyes that you're not married to, dishonored your parents, any of that, it's all sin. And she goes, oh, now I get it. It was a 30 to 40 minute conversation. And
wow.
I felt led to say, would you want to pray to trust in Christ right now? Repent and trust in Christ. And she said, yes, her name is Diana. And right there in Dollar Tree, I mean, this doesn't happen to me very often. It really doesn't.
Wow.
When I say it doesn't happen to me, it doesn't really. Usually it's just a conversation and the person says, I'll think about it. But she prayed and trusted in Christ. So
wow.
It was just amazing. Sometimes God gives you, I always pray for the Lord to give me opportunities. I'm going to give me an opportunity to share the gospel. And
thank you.
I think he has been. So.
Yes. Let's share that really quick. Let's reiterate that, I should say. Are we, friends watching and listening this program, are we willing to pray that prayer, to ask God for opportunities to share the truth with the lost, to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to ask for opportunities? And then, you know, he's going to answer that prayer because that's God's will. We know that's his will. So then are we going to try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to those opportunities? Because we can miss a lot of them. So I just want to say that. But before we take a brief pause, we're with Pam Walk. We've got to go to Romans 8, and I just want to share a few verses here because it says, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can't be confused about that. And then next verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in salvation, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And then verse 13, whoever, it's an opportunity for anyone, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. When we come back with Pam Walk, we're going to talk about Ephesians chapter 2 and hear more of her stories of just gospel opportunities. It's so encouraging and inspiring. We'll be right back.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. The website, friends, is Pamela Walk, WALCK.com, and her book is on Amazon, if that's easy for you. Bridge of Love 30, True Stories of Faith in Action, and that's no kidding. I mean, she's so good at this, and we can get good by practicing. Let's just cram some scripture right in the middle of this episode here, Pam. You mentioned the woman that was thinking her good works, and a lot of people, even in the church, a lot of people, well, I do this, I do that. It's not about do, because Jesus said, done, it is finished. It's because of what I did on the cross. So Ephesians chapter 2, I always bring people to this, especially when people are hung up with works and how good we can be, because Jesus said only God is good. There's only one good. In verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. In other words, by believing. And that not of yourselves, get this, it is the gift of God. We don't work to earn a gift, do we? Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And here's where Pamela comes in. For we are all his workmanship. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, saved, you're a child of God. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if you're a believer in Christ, you're already saved by God's grace, not by works, but he gives us things to do right in the kingdom. So let's take us to another gospel opportunity, Pam, or whatever you want to share.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I was going to say, once you open your mouth, I truly believe God will give you the words, even if it's your personal testimony or if it's inviting somebody to church, anything, you know, and the more you do it, it actually gets easier. It's sort of like riding a bike. At first it's, and I'm not saying I don't get scared. I do sometimes, but at the same time, it really does get easy. Like, I want everyone to go to heaven. I don't want people to go to hell. And hell is a terrible, eternal place, just like heaven is. So I always try, like I said, I just think, okay, love comes above, you know, just thinking, oh, this person probably is a believer. You have to delve deeper, because a lot of people will say they're Christian, but then you say, okay, well, who is Jesus to you? You know, is he your savior? You know, and then you explore it that way, because even Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons will say that they're Christian. But when you actually find, you know, I just was curious, where do you go to church? And then you find out they're Jehovah's Witness or Mormon. That's clearly not a Christian, you know, viewpoint. So I really believe going deeper with people is important. Some other things that I guess, yeah. So because of these infusions I've been getting at the hospital, you know, I've been feeling kind of funny. So I just started driving when I get the infusion. But when I first got the infusion, there was no way I was going to drive because I felt so sick after. So my insurance gives me some rides. I took some Uber rides, and every I'm trying to think if I even had one believer, and I don't think I did. Most of them were Muslim, not all of them, but I got a lot of people from other countries, you know, Syria, Nigeria, especially men, and then women. I had one woman, she was a pagan, she told me, and I've learned some lessons. So I start just like Jesus did with the woman at the well. He starts in the natural. So, you know, you want to say, oh, you know, how long have you been doing this? Or just small talk. And I guess I'm pretty good at doing that. So a little bit of small talk. And then I swing the conversation to the spiritual. Because otherwise, most of the time, it's never going to get swung. Most people are not going to bring up anything about God, especially if they're not a believer. So I try to swing it and I say, oh, you know, what'd you do this weekend? Or do you go to church somewhere? Or, like, I just swing the conversation. And most of them, like I said, they don't go to church. Or I'll say, oh, do you have any beliefs? You know, what is your, do you practice any religion? And then I start sharing the gospel. I've had some really good conversations with the Uber drivers, but I also had one that was extremely confrontational where the guy kept laughing and he actually sat in the driveway for about 15 minutes, disputing the Quran and telling me that, you know, Jesus is the same as Muhammad and it's the same as Allah and it's all the same God. And I said, no, they're very different. They have completely different beliefs. And if you actually read the Quran, you know, which I don't know how much he's read of it, but I said, Jesus never sinned. And Muhammad did. And Jesus was sinless. He was born of a virgin. And, you know, so sometimes the conversations have gotten a little heated, not too much, but sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, just even going to stores, I mean, sometimes I'll give the cashier, I try to go and I try not to always go in the self-checkout line because now there's a lot of self-checkout. And I'll sometimes go into the regular line and I will talk a little bit to the cashier and I'll hand them a tract and I'll say, you know, something to them. There was a woman that I talked to at Aldi's one day, and she said that she was Buddhist. And I said, what made you become Buddhist? And she said, oh, you know, I was a psychology major and she read up a lot on different self-help books. And so I gave her a tract and a book of John. I carry books of John because, you know, as a woman, I have a purse. And so sometimes I'll have one or two books of John in my purse. I use the Pocket Testament League to order them. And I usually order the large print because they're much easier to read. And just the small print is very small for any age. So, but I order those a lot. You can actually get Arabic ones too. You can get bilingual Arabic. You can also get Spanish ones from them, you know, different languages. I'm not always sure if they're always available, but I've gotten a lot from them. And my patients in the past, when I worked at the hospital, I've given them some of those. And I had a patient come back 2 years later and say she had been using that bilingual Arabic English one to learn English, and she was studying with somebody about Christianity. She still wasn't a Christian, but that gave me a lot of encouragement because it was, you don't know when people, especially Muslims, it's they've been so ingrained in that lifestyle and their friends and everybody, you know, they're all usually Muslims.
So Pam, I know you get a lot of tracks from Living Waters. I've ordered from them too. Livingwaters, I think, .com. It might be
Yes.
.org, but livingwaters.com. Where do you get the Gospel of John's? Where did you get those from?
Yeah, I get it from the Pocket Testament League. It's called the Pocket Testament League.
The Pocket
Yeah.
Testament League. Okay.
Yes.
Just for people that
Yeah,
might
I
want to order
always
them.
order them from them. They're wonderful. And there's a woman named Donna that she sends me emails and says that their team have been praying for me. And I was like, wow. And I thought that's really amazing because I do order them. I don't order tons of them, but I've been ordering for probably, I don't know, at least 6 or 7 years.
That's awesome. So, let's talk briefly about your interaction with you say a lot of the drivers are Muslims. Just as in Christianity, there are a lot of nominal believers in probably any
Yes.
religion, but in Islam and in Christianity, there are people that maybe are cultural Christians, maybe Muslim the same way. Some people do not believe the whole Quran. They don't want to follow Muhammad's example. He was a brutal, he was a warrior, conqueror, very violent. That's the traditions of Muhammad, but the person of Jesus completely different. He was the truth. He spoke about peace. He lived it out completely different. There's so many contrasts between Islam and Christianity, but I just wanted to point that out. So we understand that for someone to say that Jesus and Allah or Jesus and Muhammad are the same. Oh my goodness. Not even close. So one more, if you can share one more, story, Pam.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So I was in Mayday and I had a gift card and I'm walking around and I see this man dressed as a woman. Clearly he was a man. He had a beard, wearing red, hot red shorts, very short, with high black high heels and black stockings. And he kind of looked at me and smiled. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, I kept walking around the store and I felt burdened because I get a burden for lost souls. And I'm thinking, this man is obviously messed up and probably not saved. And I just, you know, I was walking around. I was kind of disturbed. I saw him again and he kind of gave me a little smile again. And I thought, all right, I got to say something. So I walked over to him and I said, excuse me, I'd like to give you this. I feel like the Lord would want you to have it. And it was a track. And right away he starts in and tells me that, you know, I just want you to know, I don't always dress like this. And he goes, I'm not planning on having surgery. He goes, but I've been hurt by some women over my life. Hmm. And it was just, you know, and so we ended up talking for about 20 minutes. And I asked him, well, what do you think about the way you're dressed? You know, I mean, you're bringing this up. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think the Lord thinks about it? And he goes, well, I don't really know. And I said, well, have you ever read the Bible? And he said, just little pieces of it. And I, you know, so we ended up talking and his name is Eric. And it was a nice conversation. I actually would have probably talked to him longer if I had time, but I had to leave. And I don't know, I asked him to please think about what I told him. I had shared the gospel with him, the whole thing about how we can't get to heaven with a savior and that we're all sinners and that he gives you the Holy Spirit on earth to help and guide you. And I said, I can tell you right now, the Lord would not want you dressed. He wants you to dress like that. He wants you dressed as a man and to behave like a man, because that's clearly what he made you to be. And I don't know, he took it well. It was actually a good conversation. I hope, pray that he thinks about it and is reading the Bible. I really hope that.
Well, but pray for Eric, friends, but we also want you to pray for Pam. Just keep her doing what she's doing, Lord. And by the way, you can look her up on Facebook. You can interact with her personally, probably message her, whatever. It's Pam, WALCK on Facebook, and you've got her website. Good to see you. Wonderful catching up with you again,
David.
Sister. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's always just very inspiring and encouraging, and the stories that she shares. And there's more coming when she gets that book done. So, friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.